Well, please turn with me in your Bibles this evening to John chapter 5. John chapter number 5. And tonight we are looking at another miracle of Christ. In John chapter number 5, let's read verses 1 to 9 to begin with. John chapter number 5, beginning in verse 1. John records, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole, whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the revelation of Jesus Christ in the Scriptures. Lord, thank you for revealing to us your precious Son, that we may trust in him for our salvation, that we may rejoice in him with our life, and that, Lord, we may trust in thee more. Lord, help us, we pray, to look into your word this evening and rejoice as your people. Lord, help us to remember, Lord, you are a miracle-working God. And Lord, help us to remember, dear Lord, that you deserve to be exalted in our lives. Lord, so often we live in unbelief. Lord, so often we offend you because of our lack of love and our lack of devotion. May your precious word this evening revive our hearts, that we may love thee more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, John makes it very clear in chapter 20 and verse 31 why the book of John was written. He says this, that ye may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing ye may have life through his name. You see, the goal of the book of John was to show us, and is to show us, that the Lord Jesus Christ is not just any man. He's not just a teacher. He's not just a religious prophet, but he is truly the very Son of God. Amen. And here John records a miracle of the Lord, and we could say that this is the first public miracle that the Lord performed. Remember at the miracle of Cana of Galilee, the miracle of the wedding, the beginning of miracles, it was only the servants and his disciples that saw the miracle. It wasn't out in the open for everyone to see. Also, the miracle of the nobleman's son. The nobleman knew what happened, but it wasn't a miracle before everyone, before an open audience. Now, we jumped a miracle. We went to the miracle of the great catch of fish last Sunday. But this one takes place before that. And what happens here is the Lord is approaching Jerusalem, and he's about to reveal to those beholding him who he truly is. Now, the place of this miracle, the Bible tells us, is at the pool Bethesda. And that was a familiar place, we read, of those who were sick, those who were ill, those who were aged, and perhaps even their families were there. And the pool had a very unique reputation. The Bible tells us that there was an angel that would stir up the water, trouble the water, and when that happened, the first person to enter would be healed. Now, we don't exactly know the details, but we do know this. The Lord doesn't ask us to seek after angels for healing. The Lord doesn't tell us in the Word of God in the writings of the Word of God that we ought to seek some sort of a miracle that way. And I believe this truth is in His Word, and this reality happened in that day, so that one day when the Lord Jesus Christ would appear, He would show all those there what grace is really about. You see, the word Bethesda means house of grace. But there was no grace at this pool. There was no grace because only the first one to enter into the pool would be healed and the others would be excluded. And that's where we find this poor man. This poor man who had a sickness, some sort of a disability, an infirmity for 38 years. And his body was so disabled he couldn't get to the water. And there he sat. You know, we see a wonderful picture of the Lord's grace right here. Notice as he enters Jerusalem, he came by the sheep market. That describes the place in Jerusalem called the Sheep Gate. There were the sheep that were kept at that gate. And they were kept there so that when people came to Jerusalem and they wanted to buy an offering to offer in the temple to the Lord, they would buy there the offering, a sheep. And that's where the Lord came, through that gate. That's where the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world entered Jerusalem, amen, by the sheep market. The Lamb of God. And what else do we notice by way of introduction about our wonderful Savior? Do you notice the Lord didn't go straight up to the temple, to the house of God? If anyone deserved to be there, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. But He didn't go there, did He? Where did He go? My friends, He went to the place of the needy. He went to the place of the sick. He went to the place of those who needed not only the healing of their body, but of the healing of the soul. What a wonderful picture of our Savior. What a wonderful picture of His grace. You see, Bethesda, the house of grace, wasn't a place of grace until the God of grace turned up and graced that place with His presence and with His wonderful love. We're going to briefly look into the Lord's love this evening at the miracle of Bethesda. Stay with us as first of all we look at the miserable patient. The miserable patient. My friends, this man who was sick for 38 years was a miserable man. The Bible tells us he was just a disabled man. Verse number 5. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Friends, this man had been sick longer than the Lord Jesus Christ had been on earth. Whether he'd been at the pool for 38 years or whether he had come later on, we don't know. But it had been a long, long time. 38 years. Was he disabled, crippled, infirm, impotent from his birth? We don't know. But 38 years is a long time. In fact, he was so disabled, he couldn't walk. He couldn't pick up his bed, that couch, that mattress that he laid on in his infirmity. That's how weak he was. He was frail. He could not walk. He was without strength. And for 38 years, he had paid sin's penalty in the form of his disability. Now, by the way, when we are sick, it doesn't mean it's because of sin. But the reality is sickness comes from the disease of sin in the world. Remember, before there was sin, there was no sickness. And the reason why there's illness and sickness today is because of the fall. And this man, let me say, beginning as we look into the Word of God, this man is a picture of the lost sinner. This man is a picture of a man that is struggling in sin. A man without the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a miserable person, a miserable patient. He was a disabled man. What a picture of a sinner he is. My friends, when a sinner is lost without the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says we are dead in our sins. We are unable to do anything to help ourselves. We are disabled, if you will, and it's only when the Lord Jesus Christ comes our way and we taste of what Christ has to offer that we are made alive in Jesus Christ. Can you see that he was a disabled man? He was also a desperate man. Verse number 6, notice there with me. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been a long time in that case. How do we know he was desperate? Because look where he was. That pool of Bethesda, that place, no wonder it would be natural for those who were sick and infirm to just try it out. to just see what happens. And he was a desperate man. In fact, he was so desperate for 38 years. Perhaps he had been there. Imagine him dragging his body towards the pool every time the water was troubled. But he was never able to reach the pool. He was desperate for healing. He was desperate. You know, even as Christians, sometimes we forget how desperate the situation was before we were saved. You know, to be without Christ, to be without the Savior of our soul, is a desperate situation. And sadly, the world does not realize how desperately lost they are and how desperately they need the Lord Jesus Christ. Sadly, too many think that they are okay and things will work in the end. The tragedy is the greatest catastrophe is to wait. Is awaiting them. The lake of fire, separated from God for all eternity. You see, this man pictures the lost sinner. He was a disabled man. He was a desperate man. Notice, he was a disappointed man. And what a tragic tale we hear. Notice in verse 7, the Bible says, the impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming," you see, he was trying every time the water was stirred. He was desperate, so he did the best he could. Maybe he rolled, maybe he squirmed, and if he never got there, which he never did, we know he had to somehow get back to the porch. He says, "But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." Every time he tried to get into the water, someone else beat him there, and they were healed instead. Year after year after year, he saw his hopes and dreams shattered as someone else beat him to the waters. See, this man pictures a lost man. And you know, the lost in the world can try all that they want to try and come to God. Man can try religion. Man can try good works. A man can try improving themselves or try some of the New Age philosophies out there that are so popular today. But my friends, when man seeks everything else but the Lord Jesus Christ, they will end up disappointed every time. See, the Lord knew what he was doing when he came to this place. You see, Bethesda is the house of grace, but it certainly wasn't until the Lord came. Until the Lord revealed what grace is all about. And let me remind you, Christian, we need to not quickly forget the miserable state that you and I were in before we were saved. You know, sometimes we forget what we were like. Sometimes we forget what life was like. Especially if you were saved later in your years. My friends, do you remember the misery of being without God? You remember the misery of trying everything and anything but God and ending up disappointed. Disappointed. And that's the reality. It ought to cause us, as we picture this man, ought to cause us to remember how lost and tragic we were in our sin, and ought to cause us to rejoice in our wonderful Savior. Amen? It ought to cause us to rejoice. And by the way, when we live without Christ as Christians, life is still miserable. If we live without the Lord, if we don't allow Him to have a place in our lives and we don't walk with Him daily, life will be miserable. We will be disappointed. So therefore, the just shall live by faith, shall walk with the Lord, shall draw nigh to God the same way we drew nigh to Him for salvation. This man was a disappointed man. He always came up short. That's no surprise, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He needed the Lord. He was a disappointed man, not only a disabled man and a desperate man, but he was a deserted man. Did you notice that no one would help him? He said, "When I'm trying to come, no one would lift me up, no one would carry me, no one would help me." And no wonder they didn't, because everyone that was there was just as desperate as he was. He had no help from those around him, because everyone, in other words, let me put it this way, it was every man for himself when those waters were troubled. That's the desperate situation man is in. And you see, sinful, lost man in his wicked condition oftentimes surrounds himself with people just or even more wicked than he is, just to encourage himself in his own wickedness, encourage himself in his own sinfulness. But those people around him cannot help them, cannot help him to the Savior, cannot help him to where he needs to go. does not remind us this evening that you and I, who have tasted of the Lord's grace and know the Lord's grace, we need to be that helper, do we not? We need to be the one that would go to that pool and know we can't save that man, but we certainly can be whom the Lord wants us to be. We can be His ambassadors and help that one to Jesus Christ. To help that one to the man of grace, the God of grace. He was a deserted man. Friends, there are people all around us that have trusted in their mates, trusted in their friends to try and help them in their life, and they have ended up miserable. And you and I need to be a friend to those in need. We need to be God's helpers. We can't heal them, but we can bring them to the one who can. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. And as we proceed through our text this evening, we move from the miserable man that pictures the sinner to the mighty physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we see in the Lord's words and actions His wonderful, compassionate work of salvation. Don't miss it. As we see the miracle of Christ, as we see what Christ does, we see the wonderful grace and compassion of the Lord. That's what we learn of Him in these passages. We see three wonderful things. I trust there'll be an encouragement to you tonight. The mighty physician. Notice in verse 3, He comes to the needy. He comes to the needy. The Bible says, in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. He came to the place where the needy were. He didn't go to the temple. He didn't go somewhere to rest in a house. No, He went to the pool of Bethesda because He knew that was the place of need. He comes to the needy. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, He could have gone to any person in that place, couldn't He? Why did He choose that one man? That was a place full of people who were sick, full of people in need. And I believe at this time the Lord came to this man because perhaps in this man's life, not only had his body given up, but perhaps his heart had given up also. Perhaps after 38 years, he had given up all hope, and the Lord came to the most hopeless. Can you see the wonderful grace of Jesus tonight? He is the one who comes to the needy. We don't come to Christ, my friends. It is Christ who comes to us in love. He reaches out to us and calls us unto Himself. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 31, verse 3, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee, brought thee unto myself." You see, the Savior, the Lord, comes to the sinner and works the work of salvation if they simply put their faith in Him. My friends, that is the grace of God. That is a picture of His wonderful grace. You know, so often we live our lives and we forget about the wonderful grace of Jesus. The grace that ought to fill our soul with joy. The fact that He loves us. The fact that He came for us. The fact that we did nothing worthy to draw Him unto ourselves. In fact, the opposite, we were just as despicable and wretched and wicked as the next person. But thank God He came to us. I thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ came to this wicked, sin-cursed earth and died on the cross for our sins. I thank God He came to us. I thank God for that day He came to you and I. Thank God He stopped where you and I were in order to help us, in order to help a broken, wretched sinner like you and me. And all we had to do to be saved was to say yes to the Lord. He comes to the needy. Notice secondly, He cares for the needy. Verse number 6, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had now been a long time in that case. Notice what the Bible reveals to us. These words are written for a reason, brethren. Don't pass up on the fact that the Bible says, yes, the Lord asked him a question, but before that, the Bible says that the Lord knew. You see, He knew everything about this man. As God in the flesh, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, knew everything about him. He knew that he was crippled. He knew that he was unable to walk. He knew he was unable to stand without asking him any questions because he is God. You see, he knew what this man was like. But he came to him anyway. And that's another example of the Lord's grace. Do you realize that the Lord knows every sin you and I have ever committed? He knows every sin that you and I have forgotten about. Did you realize that at the point of our salvation, it was impossible for us to confess every sin because we don't remember them? We come to Christ as wretched sinners, full stop. But the Lord knows every sin. He knows every wicked action we've committed. He knows every wicked thought that we've thought. He knows every desperate and wicked transgression that you and I committed. Every foul deed, every lie, every lustful, perverse action. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ, He chooses to look beyond our sins. He chooses to look beyond our wickedness and He comes to the needy. He cares for us and He believes and knows what will take place in our lives through the power of His grace. That is the wonderful grace of Jesus, that He comes to the needy. He cares for the needy. You see, this miserable patient, this miserable man, pictures you and I in our lost, sinful condition. Thank God He saved us. Amen. Thank God He cared for us. But God commendeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were undeserving and wretched, while we had offended Him, rebelled against Him, rejected Him, and sinned against Him for all our lives, He showed His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The grace of God. And by the way, after we get saved, we are still sinners. And yet He still loves us. He still wants to walk with us. He still wants to help us grow once we're saved. He knows every sin that you'll commit after you get saved. Thank God the precious blood of Christ pays for our past, present and future sins once and for all. Amen. That's the grace of God. And yet He loves us still. He knows when we will fall and He's ready to forgive. He knows when we will sin already in the future and He's ready to cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we simply come to Him for His grace. My friends, this is our Saviour. This is the one so often we forget about. This is the one so often we live without. This is the one so often we blame for our problems in our life. This is the one we say, Lord, it's not fair. My friends, what is fair? Is it fair that the God of all grace would condescend in His grace and come to wretched sinners like you and I? No, it's not. But this is who He is. For God is love. He comes to the needy. He cares for the needy. Notice also He calls out to the needy. Verse 6, and He saith unto him. What does He say? There in verse 6. Are you looking in your Bibles this evening? Wilt thou be made whole? My friends, the Lord Jesus Christ did not just come to this needy man in need of the healing of the body and the soul. My friends, He called out to him, wilt thou be made whole? You see, it's not enough for the Lord just to come. He needs to come to us. He needs to call out to us. Jesus literally comes to where the place where this poor man is lying and reaches out to him and invites the sinner to be made whole. You see, until the Lord comes to us, we don't have an opportunity for salvation. We might think that we found the Lord, but it's the Lord that came to us. It's the Lord that sent the witnesses. It's the Lord that drew us unto Himself. And yes, everybody can be saved, but without the Lord coming to us, we cannot be saved. We did nothing to please the Lord in salvation. We did nothing to earn it. We cannot earn it. We cannot get to God's grace. He Himself must come to us. And thank God it's the God of grace that came down to this wicked, sin-cursed earth. He came to us. Sometimes we forget, hey, I came to Christ. I'm a Christian. I'm not like them. I've got salvation. What perverse, wicked sinners I live with in my neighborhood, in my workplace, And around where I go, my friends, we are just as wretched. And we ought to rejoice, if anything, that Christ came to us. And there was a moment in time where the light turned on and the penny dropped And you and I realize by God's grace that we are sinners in desperate need, not of anything else, not of trying to crawl by our own works to that place where we think we can be helped, but for Christ alone for salvation. But He came to us. He cared for us. And then He called out to us. And all we simply needed to do was to say, "Yes, yes, Lord, I need to be saved. I need Your forgiveness." And in that moment, my friends, supernaturally, miraculously, the precious blood of Jesus Christ was applied to our souls and we were saved because of His grace alone. Amen. Don't ever forget, church family, the marvelous grace of God. Don't ever walk about in your Christian life believing you deserved His grace. In fact, it's the opposite. So why aren't we rejoicing tonight? Why aren't we glad in our hearts? Could it be because what we see this evening is not what we choose to think about in our daily lives? Our wonderful Lord, the wonderful grace He has for us in our daily Christian lives. He calls out to the needy. Let me ask you this evening, have you heard the Lord's call to be saved? Is the Lord calling you to come to Christ for salvation? Has there been a time in your life where the Lord came to you and you knew you needed to be saved and you repented of your sins? You said, "Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I need You to save me. I need You to heal me from this sickness of sin once and for all." Has there been a time? I trust there has. If there hasn't been, let me encourage you to make sure today that Christ is your Savior and experience His grace. But church family, if we have experienced the work of the mighty Physician in our lives, we ought to be thankful. Amen? Amen. We ought to be thankful. The mighty Physician, the miserable patient. Lastly, the miraculous result. The miraculous result. And here's the miracle. The action of the miracle. Notice verse number 8. And we're almost done. John chapter number 5, verse number 8. Jesus saith unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Now notice the Lord gave him an impossible command. An impossible command to obey. This man could perhaps never do what the Lord asked him to do. He could never pick up his bed and walk. He could never stand and walk. At least we know he hadn't been able to do that in 38 long years. Why did the Lord ask him to do that? Well, just like every single miracle that we will see, the Lord's focus wasn't on the healing. The Lord's focus wasn't on the miracle. The Lord's goal was to draw out faith from every life that He touched. To draw out their faith. Because how many of us understand tonight this man's greatest need was not the healing of his body, but it was the cleansing of his soul. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came, to seek and to save that which is lost. And so He said to this man, "Rise up and walk." And what was needed? What was needed? Simple, childlike faith. You see, at this very moment in this man's heart, he had to make a decision. As he looked up to the Lord from his couch, he had to make a decision. Who is this man? Who is this one that is speaking to me? Who is this one that has come to help me? He hasn't come to help me to the pool. He's saying, "Take up thy bed and walk." Maybe he had heard about the Lord Jesus Christ by now. Maybe he had heard about the Messiah. Maybe he knew that the Messiah would come. But here was a place of decision. Just like that place of decision you and I had to come to in order to be saved. Will we choose to believe the words of Christ and with simple faith trust in Him for His miraculous work of salvation? What a wonderful truth that Christ doesn't require perfection. What He asks of is simple faith. And by the way, that's why it's easy for children to get saved. Amen? That's why it's easy for children to get saved. Because they're used to depending on their parents for everything. And they understand the gospel more easily than you and I as adults. Because as adults, we have been taught and led to believe that we need to make our own way in life. That's the way we'll succeed. That's the path that leads to happiness. But you see, a child understands that they need someone greater than themselves to exist. And with simple childlike faith, that's all that's necessary for salvation. That's all that's necessary for the Lord to heal us and to make us whole and to forgive us for our sins once and for all. And by the way, that's all we need to live the rest of our Christian life. You might say, Pastor, I need greater faith. Okay, that's you and I, but not God. He doesn't change. Do you realize that Christ is the same Christ that saved you on that day of salvation? If we grow in our faith, it's just simply you and I coming back to that place where we believe Him once again. Where in simple childlike faith we say, yes, Lord, I can see what You're saying to me, and I believe, and I'll do it. I'll stand by Your grace. You see, that's the miracle that takes place. The miracle of faith in this man's heart. You see, the outpouring of that miracle in verse number 9. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. You see, this man responded to the Lord Jesus Christ's command by faith. And by faith alone. And what was the result? What happened? Immediately he was healed. And immediately when the sinner comes to Christ for salvation, he is forgiven. Amen? By grace. Through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that is how we live the Christian life. By grace, through faith, and not of ourselves. Why do we get saved and then we think we have to make our way once again in this life called the Christian life? That's when we fall again, don't we? The Lord allows us to be humbled as Christians. Say, well, this is how you were saved, by grace, through faith, and this is how I want you to live. The just shall live by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. What an exciting theme for 2016, amen? Because let's admit, most of us don't live by faith. We don't. But the Lord wants us to live by faith. We can live by faith. Church family, be faithful to the house of God this year. I believe in my heart, by faith, God has brought us this theme to help us to know what it really means to walk with Him and to live a life of faith. Amen? Faith without works is dead. Works will come when you have faith. Amen? The works will come. Don't focus on the works, focus on your relationship with the Lord. And trust me, if you're close to the Lord, you'll want to go soul winning and no one will be able to stop you, amen? No one will be able to stop you. You'll have that boldness and trust in the Lord that He has empowered you, given you the power of the Holy Spirit to speak up for God when He wants you to speak up. If we're close to Him by faith, the outpouring of the miracle. And if we want to experience the Lord's miraculous work in our life, listen, brethren, I'm not talking about God healing you of your sicknesses. If He chooses to heal you, praise God. If He chooses to not, He's still working a miracle of faith in your life and mine. But brethren, if we want to experience God's miraculous grace in our life, we need to simply respond to Him by faith. By faith. By faith, the miraculous result. What a wonderful miracle. What a wonderful Savior. Amen? What a wonderful Savior. Amen. Let me encourage you to walk with Him this week. This was just a brief glimpse tonight. Amen? To whet your appetite to spend time with God this week. He is the Savior of our souls. He is the one who has revealed Himself in His Word. And this week He wants to reveal Himself to you. Continue to show you and I the depth of His love, which we will never explore the depth of. Doesn't the Lord deserve our faith? Yes or no? Does He deserve our faith? Yes, He does. Does He deserve our trust? Does He deserve our full, complete dependence? Yes, He does. Why? Because He has already proved the greatness of His grace in our lives. So then let's walk in His grace this week. Let's be quick to cast down those unbelieving imaginations. Let's be quick to say no to the devil when the devil says that Christ is no good and that God doesn't love me anymore and that He's punishing me and that He's brought me to this place of weakness and brokenness to hurt me. What a wicked and evil lie that you and I entertain so often, which is so far from the marvelous grace of Jesus. Let's honor Him with our lives and with our thoughts. Let's grow in faith, simple faith, just like this man. He looked to the Lord. The Lord came to him. The Lord spoke, and he had a decision to make. What am I going to do? Will I trust Him with my finances? Will I really put Him first? There's a test. Will I trust Him with my family? Will I trust Him with His grace to overcome this sinful habit? Will I look to Him instead of my own strength to overcome this discouragement? Will I put my faith in Him to pray for the salvation of those around me and believe that God can use me to bring those to the One who can heal their soul? Let's live by faith as a result. I trust you've been encouraged tonight. Let's close in prayer and thank the Lord for our time in this word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word.